Okay, so in general, we definitely spoke about some svarim that come from Rishonim. We spoke about some svarim. I spoke last week about the Prima Gadda and Pesachos Kolelas. I want to speak about a very contemporary sefer. It is one that is very kedai to be aware of, especially for the situation that many of us are in. There are particular halachas that in Shulchan Aruch got very short treatments, because the cases were not necessarily as common, because it wasn't perceived as being so many questions coming up all the time. But as Rav Eliashiv points out in the Hakdam and the Haskama to this Sefer, the particular issue that we're going to speak about is one that has become increasingly common. The questions have become very much complex. It's Metzius, which many people deal with. The Sefer is called Yontav Sheni Kil Chaso. It's a very, very well-known Sefer, been reprinted a couple of times, written by Rav Yerachmiel Fried, who is, I think at this point they say, at least the Rosh Kollel in Dallas, from Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing sefer talking about the halachas of Yontav Sheni. Yontav Sheni, there's a couple things to know. One is Yontav Sheni, if you are from Chutz La'aretz and you're in Chutz La'aretz, that has its own set of halachas, and it's helpful to know what to do in Yontav Sheni, how things may be different between Yontav Rishon and Yontav Sheni. And it comes up, the sefer is even a greater resource for those of us that travel. If you come from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, or you go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, what exactly are the halachas? In that sense, the Sefer, I would say, really has a couple major contributions. Number one is a broader discussion about the sugyas and Maseches Beitza and Rosh Hashanah, about Yontav Sheni as a whole. Different ideas about Yontav Sheni, more of a takana, is it more of a minhag? There's a lot of beautiful and powerful lumdas here in the sugya of Yontav Sheni. The second deals with the questions that many of us are really familiar with, which is, if I come from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, so I'm here for Yontif, but really I'm still a Ben Chutz La'aretz, so I'm going to go back. Do I keep one day? Do I keep 2 days? Do I keep a day and a half? Questions like, what if you're not sure if you're staying in Eretz Yisrael? What if you live part of the year in America and part of the year in Eretz Yisrael? What if you own land in Eretz Yisrael, but you're more in America? What if you are single and dating in Eretz Yisrael, but you think likely you're going to go back? And all questions about how you define your status, how you define the area in which, how to categorize yourself. And the same question exists in the opposite direction. A person comes from Eretz Yisrael to America, Yontav Sheni. So there are also different discussions which come up. How many days do you keep? Can you do any malacha? When do you do Havdalah? And the like. Those are the broader discussions. The reality is that the more that you are sort of traveling a little bit, the more that we may be aware of complex questions that can come up, and the details which are important to know, such as, if Yamer spoke a couple of weeks ago, the shaila of Amira Liyehudi B'Yom Tov Sheni. If I'm in Eretz Yisrael on the second day of Yontif, can I ask a friend who is a Ben Eretz Yisrael to do malacha for me? We know on Shabbos there's an Isra Durabanan of Amira La'akam. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do malacha for you. But what would be the din on that Yontif Sheni? Different questions that come up. In the Sefer, he does an unbelievable job speaking about many, many different scenarios, many, many different shailas that come up and how exactly to manage them. It's not just a question as to 1 day or 2 days, but they're more complex questions. I want to speak about two questions that come up. One of them is actually fairly standard for people when they travel. This is true actually whether it's from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael or even just within Chutz La'aretz. And then we'll speak about a second question, which is a very intriguing question. It's a unique one. It's not a situation which comes up that often, but it's interesting nonetheless. The first relates to mechiras chametz. Many of us sell our chametz, whether chametz gamor or not chametz gamor. Many of us sell our chametz. And an intriguing question is, what happens when you travel? You are a Ben Eretz Yisrael, and you're going to be going to Chutz La'aretz, but you're still going to have some chametz in Eretz Yisrael. So when you sell your chametz, so this chametz gets sold and gets bought back. Presumably, if you're in Eretz Yisrael and you sell in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to get sold before Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, going to get bought back right after Pesach ends in Eretz Yisrael. If you're selling your chametz in America, so it's going to get sold at the Zman of chametz in, when the Isser of chametz kicks in America, it'll get sold then. And then it's going to get bought back, you know, when it's there. The problem is that if you sell, let's say I have chametz in multiple locations. Let's say I live in America and I'm going to Eretz Yisrael for Pesach, or I live in L.A. and I'm going to New York for Pesach, and there's a gap in time zone. If I sell my chametz through someone who doesn't know what exactly is going on, it could be that I'm sitting here and I sold my chametz in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rav in Eretz Yisrael bought back my chametz, but I'm in Chutz La'aretz. And for me in Chutz La'aretz, maybe it's still called Pesach. And what exactly is the din? Or if it's bought back or sold too late in one location. So what do we really do? There's a major machlokas haposkim about the following question. Does the Isser Bal Yiran Bal Yimatze follow the location of the chametz itself? Or does it follow the location of the person and where he is? So if I am in Eretz Yisrael, but I have chametz in New Rochelle, so does this man follow the location of the chametz itself? Or does this man follow the location of me and I happen to be in Eretz Yisrael? That is a major, major machlokes achronim. The Oneg Yontif and Simon Lamed Vav points out that we follow the location of your chametz. So the smoothest thing to do, you know, if you're going to leave your chametz in one location, so you'll sell it, okay, that as long as the chametz in New Rochelle is sold by the time the Israel chametz kicks in Eastern Standard Time, I'm good to go, gets bought back, that's going to be the din. That is the chiddush of the Oneg Yontif. However, the majority of Achronim argue and say that we follow you. We follow where you are located. That may Iker Hadin is the opinion of Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe. That is also what Rav Sternbach assumes, what Diane Weiss assumes in Michas Yitzchak, and that is what most poskim assume. What do we really do? So if Moshe writes, as is Michas Yitzchak, that l'chadchila we try to be machmir, and we try to make sure that you do not own the chametz, both chametz in New Rochelle when it's Pesach in New Rochelle, and chametz in Eretz Yisrael, and any of that chametz, as long as you're in Eretz Yisrael, that you not own any chametz for that time either. That is why if you sell chametz to the Rav, whoever you're selling chametz to, and you're going to be traveling, you will often tell him that you are planning on traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and they will, as part of their mechiras chametz, think about ways of smoothing things out. So the safer is, it's a lot of those kinds, not just the theoretical question of how many days, but as you go through the details, the nitty gritty of what's going to come up, going through all of those shilas. He has another just fascinating shilas just to raise the question. It's a very interesting one. It's in one of the footnotes, but I was struck by it. There are people in Eretz Yisrael that leave for Pesach to go to different countries to run Siddurim. So he was once asked from a bunch of Avreichim that were leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Russia for the Seder. Let's say that you are Ron, and you happen to be in Russia for Pesach. But you're a Ben Eretz Yisrael. You do plan on coming back to Eretz Yisrael. Yom Tov Sheni there could be that you have an Isser Malacha, but it's not really, you're not keeping a full second day of Yom Tov. But maybe when he's sitting in Russia right now, so he's going to have a Shiloh the second night, maybe they're going to ask him to run a Seder. Now, if he's running a Seder for knowledgeable people, so he need not do that much at all. He could just direct and organize and coordinate, you know, passively. He himself, we assume he's not going to say any brachas then. Rabbi Eger quotes from the Ginas Radim, we assume that a Ben Eretz Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz, on Yom Tov Sheni, can't say brachas to be motzi of Ben Chutz La'aretz, so he'll coordinate. But the shilas as follows, often in these kinds of scenes where Ron is, he's brought in to do Kirov, one of the things that he's being brought in to do in Russia. So maybe the Seder that he may be running is going to be a Seder where people are not that knowledgeable at all, where people really don't have that much of a background and know how to make brachas, etc. And then the shilas becomes, so on the first night, he's going to say all the brachas, all they have to do is say Amen. But what's going to happen on the second night? The second night, he's going to try to say brachas, but it's not going to be so clear. It's not going to be so clear what exactly to do. And he can't be motzi them. And they won't necessarily be able to say the brachas or to fulfill the mitzvah of magid as smoothly or as clearly. So what can they do? So Fried writes here in Yom Tov Sheni Kol Chaso. So he had an idea. His idea was that maybe he could do it as far as I'm going to now teach you the bracha. And if you're teaching someone a bracha, midin chinach, so then midin chinach, you're not to say Hashem's name. That's how kids in first and second grade learn how to make a bracha. They say Baruch Atah, and they say the actual God's name. So maybe midin chinach, it would suffice if he would say the actual names. And once he's teaching them midin chinach, since there are some poskim that do hold a ben chut Eretz Yisrael could be motzi a ben chutz laaretz. So maybe that's what Ron can do. But says Rabbi Fried, he spoke to Shlomo Zalman Arbach about this, and asked Shlomo Zalman, is that considered to be okay? And Shlomo Zalman thought, no. He thought that midin chinach, You could just say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu to teach them, and that really, really, Shlomo Zalman himself actually thought Yitachin Hosef Gomer Shlomo Zalman Arbach Shadaito Ein Ha'Avreichem Mechuyavim La'Aruch La'Anashim Elu Seder Sheni Klal. That maybe it could be that since the Bnei Chutzlaretz have no shaychus at all, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael are not going to be able to do it properly. They already did it the first night and fulfilled elements of the mitzvah chinuch, and they now know that it really exists. That it could be that they really don't, in order to avoid sfeikos, the brachas, and all questions like that, that it could be fine just run one seder the first night, and there's no need to run a seder the second night. So that's a little bit of a question which comes up. Either way, thought it would be it's a very good sefer to know. It's a good sefer to have access to. If it's every Yom Tov Sheni, and part of the challenge of being on Yom Tov Sheni is questions may come up, and you can't really call on Yom Tov Sheni to ask questions because it's Yom Tov Sheni, and therefore there's Nisr Malacha. But if you go through and you have the sefer, it becomes a wonderful resource. They reprinted it recently, and it's really just, again, it's a fascinating sefer to organize things, to put them together. Yom Tov Sheni Kehil Chaso. I thought the wrong connection.